The scripture reading this evening before the lesson will be taken from the book of Luke, chapter 14, 7 through 11. The book of Luke, chapter 14, 7 through 11. So he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noted how they chose the best places, saying to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you begin to, with shame, to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, that he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted."
We're back again tonight to open our Bibles and receive the instruction from God's Word here tonight. Luke chapter 14, this parable of the best places, relates to us how that we need to be wary and be on guard against the disposition of heart that can sometimes creep in, and it does with human beings. When we think more highly of ourselves than we should, pride can sometimes be a snare. We have examples of that in God's Word, where people started out humble and lowly, and then over time they began to change. You have a man selected by God in the Old Testament because the people cried out for a king. This man, Saul, hid himself initially. He was not the kind of man that put himself forward. When it was time to say, "Where is the king? Find him," they had to go searching for him because he hid himself among the supplies of the people there. And so when he finally was found, he was placed before the people and the pronouncement was made. But here was this man who, at the beginning of his call, was very lowly and humble, didn't think anything of himself. You know, who is my family that I should be king in Israel? He didn't understand why he was selected. But God always looks upon the heart. Unfortunately, the heart can change and sometimes does. We need to be a people who, regardless of where we have been in the past, make sure that in the present our heart is of the disposition that will honor God and glorify Him and be in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, who we're told lowered Himself, came in the form of a bondservant. This is what we need to be and what we really are as Christians, servants, slaves to our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, but also we are, as God shows us in His Word, to esteem others better than ourselves. We are to lower ourselves. We are to be the humble servants of God that God desires us to be. Pride and self-exaltation are often seen in our society, and it's a problem for many people. Humility sometimes is lost or never existed, and instead there's pride in its place. Here in our text, in Luke chapter 14, Jesus witnessed the behavior that pointed to a problem with the hearts of mankind. And this is why he told this particular parable. He was at the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees, and he saw how that some of the guests that were invited would just go forth and choose for themselves the best places. Now, in this culture, in this time, in this society, in this particular setting, evidently there were places that were known as the place where, you know, the more highly esteemed people would go. Maybe the older men, it may be the ones who had more, you know, credentials, whatever those were during those days, but there were special seats that were known to be the best seats. And some of them, when they were invited, came and they put themselves into those places. They weren't placed there. They weren't asked to go there. But they themselves went and sat in those places. And so Jesus observed what they did and noted that that was an indication of what was inside. we're not able to know the hearts of men, and yet we're told, by their fruits you will know them, Jesus says. By their actions, by what people do, you know what they are, based on what Jesus elsewhere has stated about, as we think in our hearts, so are we. So we do according to what's on the inside. Our actions come from within. So, in this parable, Jesus exposes the folly of prideful deeds, and instead he shows the glory and exaltation that will come one day to those who don't seek that kind of thing for themselves. Those who instead choose the path of being humble in heart. And so to begin with, we're going to note from verses 8 and 9, we're going to note the way of haughtiness as it is set forth in God's Word, the sin of pride, as Jesus points out here in these two verses. It says, as he tells this parable, as he talks to them, he says, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place, lest one more honorable than you be invited by him. And he who invited you and him come and say to you, 'Give place to this man.' And then you begin with shame to take the lowest place." So God has, in many places in the Scriptures, taught us about pride. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, also verse 17 as well, it says that these six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. The very first one is a proud look there at the beginning of verse 17. So anything that God hates, that's significant. You want to pay attention to that. God hates what? What does he hate? I don't want to be guilty of that. And then it says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. That's a very strong word as well. God hates. This is an abomination to God. And number one is a proud look. A proud look. Do we not see evidence of pride all around us? Do we not see people acting in that way? Boastful, arrogant, proud. Sometimes you see it on television. You sometimes see the role models for the young people, as they're sometimes called, the athletes. A lot of young people look up, and sometimes there's that disposition that's just, acting like, I am the reason. I am the greatest. And this attitude is nothing new. It's been around for many years. But that mindset that just lifts self up, and because of accomplishment, because of achievement, because of what one has attained, because what one hears about self from, the press and so forth, there's this mentality that sometimes comes out that I am the greatest. I am superior to everyone around me. And that mindset is an abomination to God. God hates the proud look, the arrogant way. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says, "Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished." So, everyone. That's very broad. It includes any person, anywhere, under any circumstances, that is boastful, proud. Doesn't matter if, it's a person of high regard, person of importance in society, or whether it's someone who is, we might call, of low estate. Anyone can suffer with problem of pride, and anyone who is lifted up and is of this proud heart, the Lord says, he's an abomination to me. So, it's a very serious matter before God. There in that same chapter, Proverbs 16, verse 18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." So he's warning us that if you live this way, if you act this way, if pride is the way that you walk, it can lead to trouble in your life. Pride gets in the way of us taking the right course. Humility opens doors for us. Humility allows us to acknowledge where we've gone wrong. Pride says, "I don't do anything wrong." Pride will not allow us to acknowledge the mistakes we've made in the past, because for some reason we think that that's a horrible thing, that we can never go there. When in fact God says, when you're able to do that, you're able to walk through the doors that bring you into the presence of God, who will accept you and who will approve of your life. Because only when we acknowledge our sins, humble ourselves, turn away from our sins, can we be received by God. The first step is being willing to acknowledge what we've done. Pride gets in the way of that. For this reason, we have to agree with Solomon in verse 19, the very next verse, better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. So, to be of a humble spirit is great in the eyes of God. Again and again and again we see that. One of our past presidents made this statement, and it relates to pride and humility, and he speaks about it in relation to kind of the overall mindset of the country. He said, "We have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in the deceitfulness of our hearts that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to the God that made us." And you might think, that must be a president in recent years. But no, that was Abraham Lincoln, the proclamation of a day of national humiliation, fasting and prayer, 1863. It is a problem that goes back in time. And of course, this mindset has plagued God's people in the past, in their history. And we see that in the pages of Scripture as well. So the point is, we have to keep our own hearts and minds humble and lowly. Teach our children to have this right attitude. Have the same disposition of mind toward this ugly way of thinking that God has, and not choose that path. In Luke chapter 14 here, after he has observed these actions of certain men, Jesus says, don't sit down in the best place. Don't do that. He corrected the tendency of men to presume that they're better than other people. These men thought, I belong here. And so they have this mindset about themselves that is wrong. And people sometimes make the mistake of comparing themselves to others. We ought not to do that. Now, it's not wrong to, you know, look to the good examples and compare ourselves to the Apostle Paul. Am I doing what Paul has done? Am I doing what Peter did? Am I, you know, that kind of thing. But in terms of saying, you know, hey, and we look at other people and we say, I'm better than so-and-so. I'm better than... This is not the way that God shows us. It's against that. The Pharisee looked at himself in Luke chapter 18, and he compared himself to that tax collector, and he viewed himself as being superior. He even spoke words that reflected that mindset. And yet, he was rejected by God because that disposition of heart, when Jesus told that parable, he says, will get you nowhere with God. Instead, like the tax collector he spoke about, one has to lower himself. We have to see what he really is like. He has to say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. We have to have the disposition that we don't feel even worthy to lift up our eyes to heaven, because we know the struggles that we have. And we ought to have the proper frame of mind. Luke chapter 14 here, Jesus says that those who lift themselves up will be removed from their lofty places. As you see there, in verse 9, the one who invites him, he comes and says, now, you need to give place to this man. You don't belong in this spot. Why'd you put yourself there? Move out of the way so the right man can be at that spot. You know, back when there was all that going on in the Middle East, in Iraq, with Saddam Hussein, you know, you saw the images on television, and they showed various places in the country, and it seemed like you could look, and everywhere you looked, there were images, there were pictures, there were statues of that man. Like, I am the God of this country. And men often do, and often leaders allow their position of power to think of themselves in that way. The Roman emperors during these days often viewed themselves as gods to the people, and people worshipped the emperors. But the seed of that problem, though it may not grow that great, can certainly be just as corrupting and problematic for us as individual Christians today, and will result in spiritual downfall and in problems in our lives if we don't clear out the matter of pride. The Scriptures, again and again, we noted the passages in Proverbs that talk about the consequences of that type of thinking. And so, again and again, we see the warnings. 1 Samuel chapter 15. This was some time after Saul had been reigning as king. God's command had come to him. He did not listen to what God said. The battle against the Amalekites was waged, but the king saw fit to do things his own way. And as a result, God rejected him. In verse 17 of that chapter, Samuel said to Saul, "When you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not God anoint you king over Israel?" So here you were, in past tense, he says, little in your own eyes. You didn't have this pride. You didn't think of yourself like you think of yourself now. That's when God anointed you as king. Move on down a few verses to verse 24. Then Saul, what does he say in response? Says to Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord." But Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel." Now you see, the proud has been brought low. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. And Samuel said to him, "The Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you." Who is better than you. Here one man turned away from the righteous path that he had initially started on. And God so saw his heart and his disposition and his way for an extended period of time that God said, "That's it, no more for this man." David sinned as well, didn't he? He sinned in a major way. And yet God didn't say, "All right, David, this is it, severed. You're no longer being king." David lived many more years serving God as king. But the difference was in the hearts of these two men. One was of a heart, though he said with his lips, "I have sinned," his heart never changed. You can continue to read about Saul and how he lived for the rest of his life. David, on the other hand, acknowledged his sin. It was not something that he had constantly been doing. He did fall greatly, but he didn't go back to that way of living again. God wants us to live as people who walk continually in the way of humility. We might stumble in pride from time to time, but it shouldn't be our way of living. We should remove that persistent way of thinking, that way of acting, far from our lives. John told of how self-exaltation was hurting the church. And in 3 John verses 9 through 11, he says, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence," so he put himself forward. He says he's the one among them that loved to have the preeminence. And John said he does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So here is a man set forth in this epistle as a man who is full of pride, self-exaltation, love to be right there in the forefront. He has, because of his prideful way, spoke evil words against leaders in the church, including John. And he actually so lives as to refuse to allow the brethren there to do what is right, threatening them, and even, as it says, putting them out of the church. So he has a lot of power. But he's a man of pride. John says it's evil. Don't copy it. Instead, do what is good. So exalting a person exalting themselves, will certainly lead to humiliation and shame when he is exposed, when his arrogance is brought forward by God. And that's what we see here. The man who is brought low departs from the place that he put himself into, and he does so with shame. And so we think about the passages we've looked at thus far, and we need to do our own self-examination. Now, when we have stumbled in the way of pride, when we reflect on our own manner of living and our choices and things that we do and how we communicate, how we talk at times, doesn't pride sometimes affect our relationships when it's reflected in our lives? How do we respond when we are corrected by a spouse, friend, a brother or sister in Christ who loves us? Do we resist? Do we refuse to be at fault? Do we seek to justify ourselves? Do we seek to shift the blame? That's a common reaction. Each of those are common reactions, but they're not proper or right reactions. Pride does, in fact, affect relationships. Cain and Abel both offer sacrifices to God. One is accepted, one is rejected. Cain is so moved by his hatred and the feelings that he had that he kills his brother. He doesn't acknowledge, you know what, I didn't do right. The reason why this happened is because I didn't follow God's will. You did. But instead, he was so hateful. He did not acknowledge his wrong. And of course, between Saul and David, we see the same thing. Saul would not cease pursuing David, seeking his life. David continually, in his humility, acknowledged the king, as God's anointed, and even having opportunity, would not take his life. Two different hearts. In Luke chapter 14, then, Jesus turns from looking at the sin of pride to looking at the beauty of humility and lowliness of heart. In verses 10 and 11, "But when you are invited, go and sit down in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' And then you will have glory in the presence of those who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." So God is making a clear statement through his Son at the end of this section that deals with pride and humility. And he says, here's what will happen depending upon what you choose. So choose right. Winston Churchill was once asked this question: "Doesn't it thrill you to know that every time you make a speech, the hall is packed to overflowing?" He said, "It's quite flattering, but whenever I feel that way, I always remember that if instead of making a political speech, I was being hanged, the crowd would be twice as big." So he thought very carefully and cautiously about getting too lifted up with pride about what he was in the eyes of people. He thought very carefully about himself. And that's the right way to think. Paul declared in Romans 12, verse 3, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." So that's the right way we are instructed to think. Think of yourself in a sober fashion, he says. So don't allow things that you have done, accomplished, things that people say about you, to affect the way that you think. Think very clearly. And this is how we ought to think, that what we are, what we have attained, is all because of God. We are the creation of God. Some people are born with talents and abilities that are amazing. You see, they have those natural abilities. God gave them those things. People ought to always keep that perspective. Even people who have labored and worked hard to attain then what they have. They weren't born with it, but through toil and perseverance, hard work, they achieved something. God gave them the ability to do that and to achieve and to reach that point. So even in that case, you don't say, "I am a self-made man." No, because God has blessed you with health and life and ability, and you used it and you worked hard. That's a good thing to work hard, but God blesses us. And all that we have, we owe to Him. In Psalm 149, verse 4, it says, "For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He will beautify the humble with salvation." So, the humble person can look forward to something that far exceeds any glory that some man might exalt in or find pleasure in. What we can look forward to is, if we live the humble life, we will have the greatest thing that anyone can attain, the salvation of our souls. That is key. Humility will lead to salvation. And again, 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, "Do not let your garment or your adornment be merely outward." Don't let your adornment, what you wear, just be thinking about external things, what you put on, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. And so, he is addressing specifically their women, but this is true of all. Don't be too focused on the externals, right? Think about, what does God see on the inside? When he thinks about my character, what kind of person I am, the one who knows my thoughts and my motives, the why when it comes to my actions, what does he see? And is he pleased? Is he well pleased with how I'm living? In explaining the meaning of the word gentle in this passage, Henry Thayer, whose lexicon we often consult, he says, "Gentleness or meekness is the opposite to self-assertiveness and self-interest. It stems from trust in God's goodness and control over the situation. The gentle person is not occupied with self at all." So back here, there in 1 Peter 3, verse 4, not focusing on the inside, but rather let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. This is the spirit that is not self-seeking. This is the spirit that is seeking God's will, lowering of self. This is the loveliness of the lowliness that is beautiful in the eyes of God. In Luke 14, in our parable, Jesus instructed the men that were at the Pharisee's house, "Just sit at the lowest place," he said. "Find the lowest seats, put yourself there." Proverbs 29, verse 23 says, "A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor." Jesus is showing, here's how you retain honor. Don't put yourself forward. If you don't want to be ashamed when you're brought low, don't put yourself way up there. But instead, think and act lowly. The Lord Himself always showed the humility of spirit that He speaks about here. And of course, when He washed the feet of His disciples, that's what we see. Lowering of self. He took the lowliest task. He was the servant that cleaned the feet. That's the menial job that nobody wants to do. Jesus did it. And He says, I want you, my disciples, to understand what I've just done and do the same thing for one another. In John 13, verse 5, He poured water into a basin and He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. Paul reminds us about the Savior in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8. He says, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Speaking of Jesus lowering Himself, becoming a man, He has come to serve humanity, was the point that Paul was making. Jesus not only taught humility, but again and again showed it in His life. To the church, Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12 and verse 16, he said, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. He says, do not be wise in your own opinion. So, don't be lifted up. Always lower yourself. Connect with your brethren. Be of the same mind. Peter commands in 1 Peter 5, verses 5 and 6, likewise, you younger people, be submissive to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Philippians 4, or rather 2, in verse 3, Paul says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. So, we see from old to New Testament, in the lives of the righteous, and in the commands coming forth from the inspired, this teaching relating to humility and lowering of self is emphasized again and again. And so, we must have that humility. Our need is great. We must be able to see our wrongs so that we can turn from them, acknowledge them, because in fact we're commanded when we have sinned against a brother or a sister, we're supposed to do what? Go to them. Humbling ourselves, making things right, that does require a lot of humility. Pride can sometimes give us a how dare you attitude toward what others say or what they bring to our attention because we might have the wrong view of ourselves. It's certainly not impossible for us to be wrong. So often, as human beings, we are. And so, we need to learn and have open hearts to God's will, to continue to see where we need to change in our lives and walk in that humble path. Pride can prevent us from hearing God Himself because we reject the one telling us what He says. They might be speaking the truth to us, but maybe because that person's younger than I am, or that person is too old, they're out of touch, they don't know what I'm going through, or they're of the opposite sex, I'm not going to listen to them, or whatever kind of other thing we might say, we turn away from somebody simply repeating to us what God has spoken, and therefore that pride gets in the way. So it is true that we must follow the example that Jesus shows us in this parable, putting ourselves in the low place. Let us not wait. Let us never delay to cast off anything in our lives that is not the pure and righteous and godly way that God wants us to walk in. Instead, rapidly and with haste, understanding the danger to our soul, because all sin threatens us, we must turn away from things that are contrary to God's will and instead be examples of the humility that characterized our Savior. Because, in fact, when we seek to go out into this world and reach the lost, when you're humble of heart and you have this disposition that Jesus has talked about, it opens doors, it helps people to see that you're not coming to them as a person who thinks I'm better than you are, But rather, you're coming to them as someone who understands the struggle with sin because you have dealt with it in your own life. You've walked that humble path. And it opens doors when you're also reaching out to your brethren who struggle with sin. And it might be a situation where you have opportunity to help. Galatians 6, the opening verses. Those who are spiritual are to restore such a one, someone who's fallen into sin, because we are to bear one another's burdens. And so this attitude is so helpful and so right for so many reasons. And it will aid us in our walk and let us glorify and honor the God that we love who gave His Son for us. Tonight, if you're not a part of the church and need to come to Jesus, let your heart be filled with faith in Him. Have the intent and determination to turn away from past sin. Confess your faith in Jesus this very hour. And we will help you to be baptized so that your sins can be washed away. Those things are essential to your salvation. And then live faithfully, every day walking with God. Every day, examining the truth and drawing closer and closer to Him and walking in that way of humility. If you need to come home or need to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we'd be glad to help you as we stand and sing.